Welcome into the Paul Edwards program on a Friday where it is Open Line Friday, 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Would love to hear from you via the phones or online at godandculture.com. You can also email me, paul at godandculture.com. The Obama Doctrine. This phrase, you know, every president gets a doctrine attached to them. This phrase, the Obama Doctrine, a quick Google search before we go on the air here, reveals that the Obama Doctrine was first used back during the campaign in 08 by the American Prospect, a progressive journal. It is a lengthy piece. I was able to read most of it and skim the rest of it, but the Obama Doctrine in 2008, in a nutshell, was about ending war and getting America off the world stage in terms of war, ending the war on terror, and pulling American troops out, pulling us back, and taking care of business at home. That certainly was not on display yesterday in Oslo, where the president received his Nobel Peace Prize. Sarah Palin said yesterday that it was a speech she could have given. As a matter of fact, she said that in my book, I talked about the fallen nature of man and why war is necessary at times. It would seem that the Obama Doctrine is also the Bush Doctrine. I don't know if you heard the president's speech. We played extensive clips of it yesterday. But basically, the Obama Doctrine in 2008 versus the Obama Doctrine close to the end of the first year of his presidency are 180 degrees different. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago during the campaign, this president, as a candidate, wanted America to simply slide off the world stage, quit being the world's policeman, and sit down and negotiate with terrorists and rogue heads of state and just make nice with the world and make all the problems of the world go away. That's not what we heard yesterday. What we heard yesterday was a speech George W. Bush could have given and probably did given for the very first time, as far as I know. President Obama has used the phrase evil. He said there is evil in the world. That, my friends, George W. Bush, when he coined the phrase access of evil back right after 9/11, Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, when he coined that phrase access of evil, the liberal media went nuts. They absolutely lost it. Chris Matthews didn't have a chill going up his spine. He had electricity coming out of his ears. I mean, the guy was on fire. He was so livid at George W. Bush, suggesting that there's evil in the world. Well, what do the liberals now do with their man, Barack Obama, who on the world stage in front of what ought to be a friendly audience to the president, certainly the president gave a message yesterday that is not one that wine and cheese crowd up there in Oslo might readily accept. And so I continue to applaud the president for what he had to say. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the Obama Doctrine has suddenly become the Bush Doctrine? Or is it that the Bush Doctrine has suddenly become the Obama Doctrine? I'm on the Huffington Post. I'm reading, the Huffington Post is not Fox News. You know, if you're coming late to the party, the Huffington Post is probably the place on the internet for liberal opinion. And they say conservatives reacted with shock and disdain to President Obama's Nobel Prize, and some attacked his speech on Afghanistan before he even delivered it. But now many on the right are lauding Obama's lecture in Oslo, defending the use of American power. In an interview with USA Today, former Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin suggested the speech could have come from her mouth. Palin praised President Obama for the speech he gave Thursday to accept the Nobel Peace Prize. She said the president's defense of war to combat evil could have been taken from the pages of her memoirs. Quoting Palin, "Wow, that really sounded familiar. I talked, too, in my book about the fallen nature of man and why war is necessary at times." Former House Majority Leader, well, they've got that wrong. He wasn't at one time he was the majority leader, But Newt Gingrich's most recent post in the House of Representatives, lest the liberals forget, and I know they're anxious to forget, was as Speaker of the House, but they identify him as the former House Majority Leader Newt Gingrich. Said the speech was, quote, actually very good. He clearly understood that he had been given the prize prematurely, but he used it as an occasion to remind people, first of all, as he said, that there is evil in the world. Gingrich said, I thought in some ways it's a very historic speech. A spokesperson for House Minority Leader John Boehner added, quote, as President Reagan said, Republicans believe in peace through strength, and we were pleased today that President Obama addressed and defended our mission in Afghanistan, where success is the only option. Eric Erickson, the conservative founder of RedState.com, wrote, I was surprised by Obama's speech. Part sounded like full-throated support for the Bush Doctrine. And it is. But the names have changed. You've now got President Obama with the reality of being president now, with access to things he didn't have access to as a candidate in terms of CIA briefings, intelligence briefings. He now knows the full story, and I hope that the president in the last 10 months has not just now come to the conclusion that there is evil in the world, but I'm glad that no matter when he came to that conclusion, he finally has come to it and is convinced enough of it to be willing to go in front of what otherwise would have been a friendly crowd. This crowd up there in Oslo, should is not the kind of crowd that would readily receive that kind of speech. As a matter of fact, if George W. Bush had delivered that speech, and of course George W. Bush would never have been given the opportunity to deliver that speech in front of that crowd, if it had been George W. Bush, I could imagine the hissing and the booing that would have been taking place. But because it's Barack Obama, it is truth personified. 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. It's still, however, as good as that speech was, it still does not remedy the fact that the prize committee up there in Oslo gave that award, that prize, the Nobel Peace Prize, to the president as a bribe, and they've made no bones about it. They've given it to him on the grounds that we believe, Mr. President, you're with us. We believe that you believe that it is the United Nations that needs to rule the world and not American superiority. And we just want to encourage you, Mr. President, to stay with us. So we still got to deal with the fact that, and President Obama rightly at the beginning of that speech yesterday recognized that his accomplishments in office have been slight, his words, not mine. And yet he used the occasion to talk very clearly in academic terms and in very philosophical terms and in somewhat religious, although heavily weighted toward humanism, humanistic terms about just war. And so I do applaud the president. However, how is the president now going to lead now that he has this trophy from the world, this gift from the world in advance? We realize, Mr. President, you've not done anything yet, but we're counting on you. We're counting on you to see it our way. We're counting on you to get it done our way. And so here's the prize in advance. Do you think this is going to in any way sway the president to have the world's interests at heart more than American interests at heart? I got to be honest with you. Given what the president said yesterday, I don't think so. But let me quickly add that this is the same president who talks a good game, but in actions is totally the opposite of what he says. This is a president who, while a senator, both a state senator in Illinois and a senator in the United States Senate, talked a good game about limiting abortion, making it safe, rare, and legal. And yet, on the other hand, every vote the man made, every piece of legislation his name was connected to, was all about not making it rare, but making it an opportunity to destroy human life. The notion that this president, as a senator in Illinois, would not defend the indefensible or that which is defensible. Why would not this president step up to the plate and say, you know what, it's just wrong to birth a baby at full term, partially, and then kill it? This president, as a senator, refused. And yet, he talks about defending life. He talks about making abortion rare. And so I'm hoping the same thing is not happening here with this president on the issue of foreign policy, where on the world stage he delivered an excellent speech, a speech that George W. Bush could have given and did indeed give, defending American the right of America to defend itself on the world stage. And then, you know, in the secret bowels of the White House, where decisions are actually made when the cameras are turned off, working to earn that Nobel Prize that he was given in advance. 866-423-WLQV, the Paul Edwards Program, 866-423-9578. You can also instant message me in studio at the website at GodandCulture.com. The state of Michigan has approved a smoking ban in restaurants and public places. You in favor of that? I was at my favorite Big Boy restaurant earlier today, as I often frequent this same restaurant. It has allowed smoking ever since I've gone in there. It's never stopped me from going in there. I fully recognize that that place offers a smoking section. Now, I don't smoke. And I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. I think that's the way the old ditty goes. But is it appropriate for the government to step in, number one, and tell you where you can and cannot smoke, and number two, tell a private business owner whether or not his establishment can be open for smoking or not? 866-423-WLQV. I'd love to just take an informal poll among the audience and see what you think. 866-423-9578. This ban will, given if Jennifer Granholm signs it, and she says she's going to, this ban on smoking in public places will take effect on May the 1st. It makes exceptions for the gaming floors at Detroit's casinos, cigar bars, specialty tobacco shops, home offices, and motor vehicles. Well, thank God they haven't yet banned my right to smoke in my car if I want to. But that's coming. You know that's coming. I mean, how many of us in the summertime aren't, you know, sitting idling at a stoplight with our windows rolled down? And we can smell the cigarette smoke coming from a car around us. I guarantee you that there will come a day when they will say you cannot smoke in your car. I think already I don't know if it's true in Michigan, but I think that there are some states that have this ban on smoking in your car if children are in the car. What do you think about this this smoking ban? Is it something you're in favor of? Do you see any advantages to it? 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Here's what I sort of kind of think. I think that you ought to leave it up to the individual business owner whether or not they are going to have a smoking section or not, whether they're going to have their whole restaurant be smoking or non-smoking, a non-smoking section, and leave it up to the market to determine who frequents the restaurant and who doesn't. I was having a conversation with a certain employee of a restaurant that I was in earlier today. And she was telling me about the story of a family that came into their restaurant and asked to be seated in non-smoking as far, far, far away from the smoking section as you can possibly get. And so she was. This family was seated as far, 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 far away from the smoking section as you can possibly get. But all throughout the course of the evening, while that family was in there, the mother of these children kept interrupting the hostess to say, "You're killing my children." I mean, basically, it led to that. "You're killing my children." The bottom line is, we choose which restaurants to go into, don't we? Do we not have the right to make a choice? If I'm opposed to smoking in public in an enclosed place at a restaurant, Do I have any other options? I mean, can I go? I mean, there are some restaurants in this area, I think, that are non-smoking. I'd be interested if you know of some, if you'd call and let me know. 866-423-WLQV. Do you know of any restaurants right here in the Detroit area who are completely non-smoking already? You cannot smoke when you go in there. And would you be more likely to frequent those restaurants than you would a non-smoking restaurant? And if you do go into a non-smoking restaurant, would you blame the restaurant owner for the health hazards to your children? Now, the flip side of this that we could really get into a debate about is whether or not there is any proven science behind the whole notion of secondhand smoke. 866-423-WLQV. I'll tell you what I think. When we continue here on the Paul Edwards program, we'll take your calls at 866-423-9578, smoking or non-smoking for you. And I'll let you in on what I think about the science behind secondhand smoke when the Paul Edwards program continues.
The desperation in his own voice startles Bartimaeus as he shouts, "Jesus, help me!" The Jericho crowd pushes him aside, but today it is not their mercy he seeks. Could Jesus hear him? Jesus could take away the blindness that had forced him to sit and beg on the side of the road. He cries out one more time. The sound of the healer's voice calling back to him is almost more than Bartimaeus can bear. The request for sight is barely off his lips before it is granted. He gazes into the face of Jesus, and his eyes are filled with life.
What makes the miracles of Jesus even more miraculous? Standing where they happen, in Israel. For more information about visiting Israel, call 1-888-77-ISRAEL or visit www.goisrael.com. When you visit Israel, you'll never be the same.
You'll never be the same.
Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also a time when life moves faster and the chaos of the season can easily drown out the voice of the Prince of Peace. It's a time to stop and hear God speaking. So check out God Speaking the Musical, a sensitively crafted look at life during the festive and frantic season. Through pointed drama and evocative music, we see not only ourselves, but those hurting souls around us who, like us, need God to speak peace into their lives this Christmas season. God Speaking reminds us that all our failures and fears were on the heart of God as He sent His only Son to bring us hope of eternal salvation and the confidence necessary to live life to the fullest. Experience this musical for free at First Baptist Church of Rochester, located on Orion Road, just west of Rochester Road, this Friday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 11. For more information, call 248-652-6151 or visit fbcrochester.org.
Ladies, now that your knights in camouflage armor have left for the forest to provide for you and yours, he did remember to get your vehicle ready for winter, didn't he? Good for him. But if the demands of saddling up the truck, packing the gear, cleaning the weapons left him short of time before he gallantly rode off to play, provide, then Master Auto can assist you. The grinding, clunking, stalling, chugging, check engine light problems will be handled by the highly experienced crew at Master Auto, located at the corner of 7 Mile and Inkster Road in Redford. Call 313-532-2500. We've got all the good stuff. Top-of-the-line equipment, state master certifications, 150 years combined experience, premium brand name parts, great nationwide warranty, quick towing, honesty, and integrity.
Bob and his staff over at Master Auto, they just treat everybody like family. They gave me the best price on my repair service, and they were quick and professional. I'll really trust them with all my future auto needs.
Master Auto, 313-532-2500.
Simply happy, wonderful Christmas time.
When you Google secondhand smoke, the phrase secondhand smoke, all you come up with is anti-smoking websites. The National Cancer Institute, the World Health Organization, all you get is inundated with information that's bad. I mean, it's just bad. And, you know, to me, it's reminiscent of the science of global warming, quite honestly. And I'll tell you why I think that after I get a couple of your phone calls here. But Michigan, if Governor Granholm does what she says she's going to do, and so far she has, she told us a couple of years ago that we would be blown away in 5 years. It's only taken her less than two to blow us away. She's going to sign this smoking ban into law, which means you can no longer smoke in a public place in Michigan unless you're on the casino floor and in your own car. What do you think of this? 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Donna in West Bloomfield, I'm glad you called and welcome.
Hi, Paul. Listen, I couldn't agree with you more about the government intrusion into our lives. But you know what? I just find smokers offensive. I personally don't care if people choose to smoke. But you know what? I don't want to be around it. And if I want to go out and enjoy an evening out, I don't really feel like I should have to sit there and smell someone else's bad habit.
Do you think that there might be other choices for you, though? I mean, I don't off the top of my head, Donna, know if there are any real good smoke-free restaurants in the Detroit area, but it would seem to me that there has to be an alternative choice where you and I, who don't smoke, could simply choose to go to an establishment that doesn't encourage smoking by, you know, making their whole place non-smoking. Wouldn't that be better than imposing our will? And I'm just speaking rhetorically here, but are we not imposing our will on the rest of the world because we don't smoke, and we wouldn't want the non-smokers imposing their will on us? So how do we handle the difference?
Well, I think you kind of answered the question there. I hear what you're saying in terms of my imposing, you know, my wishes or my will on other people, but look what they're doing in reverse. They're forcing me to accept their bad habit. And, you know, maybe, for example, I can come up with a couple of restaurants that I enjoy going to in West Bloomfield. But it's always disgusting because I love their food. It's a great place to go. It's got a nice atmosphere. I enjoy it. But, you know, I have to sit there and smell the smoke. And so, you know, why should I penalize myself for someone else? So I don't know that I'm really answering your question. I don't know whether there's really a fair answer to this, because either way, someone's going to be the loser.
Yeah, and my fear, as you pointed out at the beginning, Donna, is I don't want the government infringing on my rights any more than necessary. But the government infringes on my rights all the time. I mean, there are speed limits on the roads I travel on, and I certainly, under the Constitution, I'm free to do whatever I want within the law. And so, you know, the law limits us all the time. And so I guess we got to ask ourselves, is my freedom really being restricted? Yeah, or is there...
Well, how about this? Excuse me. I'm sorry, Paul, I interrupted.
That's
you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, you're talking about the speed limit. Well, I'll tell you what got my Annabelle a few years ago was the seatbelt law.
Yeah.
I felt that was an infringement on my rights. If I want to drive like a goofball and not use a seatbelt, then that's my right. Why does the government tell me I have to put a seatbelt on?
Right.
Now, it makes sense. And in a way, I think the seatbelt law and this smoking law really go hand in hand. They're both positive. They're positive laws that I think do benefit people.
Well,
it still irritated me.
Yeah, laws.
That law irritated me.
Laws have to have a public interest, and we have to say, does the restriction of this behavior, does restricting it farther benefit the general public? For instance, the reason we have a seatbelt law is so less people are getting killed in auto accidents, and so our healthcare costs and car insurance doesn't skyrocket because highway deaths are so high. That's one aspect of it. It's a major aspect of it, but only one aspect of the whole reasoning behind a seatbelt law. The same thing with secondhand smoke and smoking in public, and me as a non-smoker breathing somebody else's smoke while I'm trying to eat my steak. It becomes a public health issue, and so we ask ourselves, is it reasonable to restrict the freedoms of some in order to protect the health of all? I think that's the reasoning.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I guess I just don't have an answer for it. I just have my own selfish opinion. I guess you could look at it from that point of view.
We all have our own. Yeah, we all have our own selfish opinions, and that's why we open the phone line, so we can hear your selfish opinion, because it's valuable. It may not be valuable anywhere else, Donna, but your selfish opinion is very valuable right here.
Thank Thank you, Paul. Maybe someone else has got a better idea.
Donna, thanks for the call. Thank you so much for the call. 866-423-WLQV. Keith in Rochester Hills. What do you think, Keith?
Are you familiar with the states that have non-smoking laws?
Yeah, I lived in Texas for almost 3 years, and they had non-smoking in all of their public places, including the ballpark in Arlington that I frequented almost every day the baseball season was open.
Did you like that?
I loved it because I'm a non-smoker.
Well, I'm totally on board with you. My son's in Oregon, and we went there. And I absolutely loved going in restaurants. Wherever you went, you didn't come out smelling like smoke.
Mm.
Now, I agree with the government intrusion in our privacy or our rights. I agree with that. But if we as people just had a little bit of respect for those that didn't smoke, it would have never came to this point.
Right. Yeah, and I wish that human nature was such, Keith, and I know you agree with me, I wish that human nature was such that we could trust people to just be to be considerate. The reality is,
right,
human nature being what it is, people aren't going to be considerate.
Now, I know I smoked for a long time, and I quit, and I can't stand it now. And a lady my wife had worked with, it actually had messed up her sinuses. Probably for the rest of her life, because she smoked so heavily. And our company is a non-smoking company, so, and I'm a buyer, so they're actually on to me to get them shelters, provide smoking butlers so they can go outside and smoke now.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, you know, just
yeah,
kick the habit or something.
Exactly. Keith, thanks for your input. Appreciate hearing from you very much. 866-423-WLQV. Of course, we banned smoking on school campuses, man, 15 years ago in this state, I think, maybe longer. You cannot smoke on a school campus, even in your private automobile. If you're on the campus of a public school, public university, public community college, you cannot smoke. You may not know that, but you cannot smoke. And if you're an employee of the school district, I don't know how you get your smoke break in. You got to drive off the campus to get your smoke break in. 866-423-WLQV. Carol in Woodhaven, welcome. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. I am not a smoker, but I think that doing this just paves the way for the government to take even more away from us. And I don't think non-smokers really get it. Every right that they take from us just paves the way for more. It started with the seatbelts, and it's every little thing that keeps coming along our way. And it'll only affect people that don't want this when they start going after something they like to do, like drink alcohol or attacks on their sweets. I'm a thin person, and obesity is the number one killer, not cigarettes.
Right. Yeah.
So
you're on to something, Carol, and I agree with you. I agree that you give the government an inch, it is going to take a mile. And so, but again, I think we've got to balance out the public health versus private rights. Although, Carol, thanks for the call. Although the reality is, I'm not convinced that the information we're getting from the World Health Organization, number one, anything with world in it, I get concerned about. I'm not convinced we're getting proper science from the World Health. Now, I'm not convinced we're even getting proper science from the National Cancer Institute. 866-423-WLQV, the notion that that secondhand smoke is as big a killer as is smoking it yourself. I don't buy that for a number of reasons. 866-423-WLQV. Marlene and Allen Park, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello. I have a few comments. First of all, can anybody out there tell me what good smoking does? And I used to be a smoker for, I don't know, 25 years, and no longer, thank God. There is nothing good about it. It's all evil. It's all bad. It takes away people's lives. I lost a dad from it. And I don't want to smell like that. I don't want to be around it. I don't want the children, you know. If you really look at people smoking and so forth, how do they learn? By their parents and by other people smoking. It's an influence thing. And it all has terrible ramifications, and it all leads to death. It's sinful because you're destroying a healthy, good body because you're addictive, because of addictive behavior and what have you. I think that the government needs to do things right and actually give people an incentive to quit smoking. And another thing, you ever look on the ground lately?
Yeah.
I mean, there's cigarette butts everywhere.
Yeah.
Why don't they impose a 5 cents per cigarette butt? You know, they did it for bottles. Look at the ground. It doesn't break down. It's filthy dirty.
Yep.
Nobody wants to pick it up. You look at the freeways and the side of the freeways when you get off the off-ramps,
yep.
All you see is, you know, bottles and cans or what have you of various sorts, and cigarette butts everywhere. It's filthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Well, you've said a lot, and I appreciate it, Marlene. Thanks very much. One of the most frustrating things that happens when you're commuting is to see the car in front of you flick a cigarette out the window. It's littering. How do you enforce that? It's littering. I mean, it's a pet peeve, and I could yell about it all day on the radio, and nothing will ever be done about it. But it is, for those of you that smoke, why don't you keep your cigarettes in your ashtray and dump it out in a garbage can? Although I watched one person drive up in a rest area once. They pulled up in a rest area. We were traveling somewhere. They pulled up in the rest area next to us, opened up their car doors, pulled out their ashtray, and dumped it right in the parking lot of the rest area. I mean, I'm not going to stereotype all smokers, but there's a nastiness about this that maybe you ought to think about as well, as Marlene rightly points out. 866, I mean, you wouldn't take an ashtray and dump it in your living room floor. Well, I don't know. Maybe you would. 866-423-9578, Mike in Ortonville, welcome.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that this is a legal substance, and yet you're not allowed to utilize it in a restaurant, or if you own a restaurant, are you allowed to say, I'll segregate this section, I may even close it off. This will be a smoker section. I've been in restaurants and lounges where the proprietor has done such a great job of ventilation that you would never know people were smoking in that room.
Right, yep, me too.
You know, so there's no reason to restrict it. It's just a pure power grab. And, you know, if they really thought this was such a horrible product, then just ban it, make it illegal. But they don't want to do that because they gain taxes from
right.
that product.
Yep, absolutely.
And whenever they're looking for an additional kick, you know, I smoke cigars probably 3 or 4 a week. I enjoy them, unlike the woman before me telling me that they're horrible. I enjoy them in moderation. I love the flavor. I love everything about it. I'm not a cigarette smoker, but if it's legal, if you want to do it, it's your game. Until they're outlawed, leave it alone.
I couldn't agree with you.
This intrusion is, I'm telling you, the next thing will be how many grams of fat in your hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
How many grams of fat in your fries. How
we're
much
already there.
Coke.
Yep, we're already there. No question about it. I couldn't agree with you more, Mike, especially about what you said about cigars. I'm with you. I am totally with you. Thanks for the call. 866-423-WLQV, Ken in Clinton Township. Thanks for calling, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Comment. I wasn't sure how many business owners probably may appreciate the fact that the law went into effect so they don't have to make the decision anymore about having smoking or non-smoking areas of the restaurant. I personally don't like smokers in restaurants, and I always gear my seating preferences away from the smokers. But as a business owner, I mean, I've talked to business owners at the restaurants I frequent, and I say, you know, if it were me, I'd get rid of smoking altogether. And they make comments, yeah, we agree with you, but I wonder how many would appreciate the fact that the government did this so they don't have to make that decision about just cutting out smoking altogether.
Yeah, it's a good point, Ken. The restaurant I frequent nearly every day for breakfast, lunch, where I go to prep this show, because they give me a free copy of the Detroit News, so they bribe me to come in there. But I've been going in there for 6 years, and I had a conversation with not the owner but the manager, who's been there forever, and what she told me when I said, I pointed to the headline of the Detroit News today, and I you know, the smoking ban, and I said, what's this going to do for business? And big smile on her face, she says, you know, it's going to help business, because now people, if it's uniform, where every restaurant is non-smoking, the smokers can no longer say, okay, I'm not, you know, for instance, if that restaurant had said on their own, we're going to ban smoking in our restaurant, probably 80% of their smokers would have found a smoking restaurant that they would go to, but now they don't have that choice. So you're right. I think most of the business owners are going to be breathing a sigh of relief, no pun intended,
right?
And saying
they won't lose those smokers.
Exactly.
Those guys will just stay there and eat.
Yep. Exactly. Right. It's a great point.
Good. Thanks, Paul.
Ken, thanks for the call. 866-423-WLQV. The smoking ban. When we continue, let's talk about secondhand smoke, shall we? And I'll tell you what, all of the, you Google secondhand smoke, all you come up with is negative, 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 negative. There is nothing out there that that refutes the science of secondhand smoke. My friend Dennis Prager, who's heard on our sister station WDTK, however, from noon to 3 p.m., actually 1 to 3 p.m., Dennis has been arguing forever that this secondhand smoke stuff is just nonsense. 866-423-9578. What do you think of Michigan's smoking ban? It's going to go into effect on May the 1st if Governor Granholm signs the legislation. You happy about it? Is it an infringement on your rights? 866-423-WLQV.
Stress during the holidays is not always financial. Sometimes it's about your weight. You don't have to sit at home waiting for the cold weather to pass while your waist expands. What goes through your lips goes to your hips. Sounds cliche, but it's true. Do what thousands have done for over a quarter century. Call Judy Singer's The Meta System. A compassionate telephone counselor will speak with you. You'll learn which individual product can be customized to you. As always, there is never a charge for continuous phone consultation. Why wait for New Year's resolutions? Get started now. Surprise everyone with how great you look, especially yourself. Boost your energy too. Join the holiday fun. Eat what you like without gaining weight. Call now. We'll take 10% off of your first purchase plus free shipping as our holiday gift. 1-800-711-JUDY. 800-711-5839. 800-711-JUDY.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it. Speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
The number to call is 800-466-1849. That's 800-466-1849. Toll free, 800-466-1849.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
800-466-1849.
Here's your book. Good luck with it. You're a Christian writer looking to self-publish. Why on earth should you choose Zulon Press? A better question might be, why in heaven? They're the Christian self-publishing specialist. Zulon Press knows the market, has the connections, and sells more Christian books than any other self-publishing company. Learn more. Visit ChristianPublishing.com for your free guide to Christian publishing. Do that, and you'll find out about the specialty publisher who says, here's your Christian book, now let's make it a success. ChristianPublishing.com.
What are you doing as a family this Christmas to help the less fortunate? If you haven't decided yet, may I suggest you prayerfully consider giving to Angel Tree. Hi, it's Paul Edwards, and for a gift of just $51, you can help Angel Tree volunteers and churches throughout southeastern Michigan minister to children right here who have a mom or dad in prison with a wonderful Christmas gift. The number to call is 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. Thirty-nine minutes after the hour, 866-423-WLQV. The phone line's open on this question of the smoking ban. The World Health Organization finds that more than 94% of the world's population is exposed to deadly secondhand smoke, leading to 600,000 premature deaths a year and economic losses totaling tens of billions of dollars. I find that unbelievable. 94%, nearly 100%. I mean, for all intents and purposes, statistically, 100% of the world's population is dying from secondhand smoke. 866-423-WLQV. That's the World Health Organization statistic. It sounds on the same level as global warming alarmism. 866-423-9578. Harry in Dearborn, thanks for calling. Harry, welcome.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Or good afternoon, excuse me. I'm going over to a place right now. I'm a non-smoker since 1977. I had my last cigarette. But I'm going over to a little coffee shop in southwest Detroit where they allow smoking. And we were talking about it today. They're going to lose more than 50% of their business. If they go into non-smoking, and that's where these guys go to smoke and everything,
yep.
They're going to lose a lot of their business. I'm not. I think it should be up to the owners to say, yeah, we're going to have a smoking place where you're allowed to smoke, or no, we're not.
Okay. Is this a specialty tobacco shop, or is it it's a coffee bar?
No.
You said.
No, it's a coffee shop. It's a little donut shop where coffee and donuts is all they have. Great little place. I've been drinking coffee there for 35 years or better. And they've always had smokers in there, and if there's too many, I get my coffee to go and leave. But most of the time, I'm sitting in there amongst the smokers, and there's enough ventilation, and I've never really had a problem with it.
Yeah, so it's Harry, it's not the kind of place that's huge enough to have a smoking, non-smoking section.
I would say they've got the first two seats up at the counter where it says no smoking, but I've never realized what that would do because I just sit there occasionally. But like I say, I believe this should be left up to the owners. The owners should say, hey, put a big sign up. This is a smoking restaurant where we allow smoking. And, you know, then that way you have a choice to go in or you have a choice to go down the street or some other place where they don't allow it.
Couldn't agree with you more, Harry. Thanks for the call. You know, the reason they don't put up the sign is because then the government would be letting you make the choice. It would be letting that little coffee shop owner decide whether they want smokers in their place of business or not, and the government doesn't want you in control of anything, quite frankly. They don't even want you in control of your healthcare decisions. 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Renee in Southfield, I'm glad you called. Welcome.
Hey, Paul, thanks.
You're welcome.
You know, I'm a healthcare professional. And I don't know if the World Health Organization's stats are correct, but I see the devastation of what secondhand smoke and just smoking in general does to the lives of the people that I take care of and those around them. Now, people have a right to smoke, but I have a right not to smell that crap. Okay, I have a right not to breathe in these carcinogenic agents that come from people inhaling and exhaling smoke.
Well, I agree with that. And I guess then it becomes a free market thing where business owners decide, are we going to cater to smokers or non-smokers? And we let the market decide what drives it rather than have the government decide. But with this caveat, Renee, as I've already pointed out to one caller, sometimes there is a legitimate public health interest that causes us to limit the rights that otherwise we wouldn't limit. And if the statistics that come out of the World Health Organization, the National Cancer Institute, if those statistics are true, then it would appear that there would be a public interest, a public health interest in limiting the rights of smokers to smoke only where they're going to be affected and nobody else is going to be affected. But
Exactly. I don't believe, because I'm an ex-smoker, I don't believe that, you know, we should ban smokers from smoking. No, but, you know, in many places where you go to eat, you have a smoking section, a non-smoking section, and a lot of times they're just adjacent to each other. Well,
right.
I don't want to breathe it, and I have a right not to.
Yeah. But what's going to happen when the government steps in and says, you can't smoke if you've got children, minor children in your home? I think that's where we're headed with this kind of legislation, because then the smoke isn't just going into the smoker's lungs. It's also going into their children's lungs against their will. Do you think we'll come to a place where the health agencies in the state of Michigan decide if you've got children, minor children living in your home, you can't smoke?
Well, of course, Paul. Of course that's what's going to happen. So where's the middle ground then?
Yeah, well, it seems like then it becomes an infringement, a real infringement. When you're talking about a public restaurant, that's one thing. When you're talking about a man's castle, his private home, and you're going to have the government telling me what I can and cannot do in the privacy of my own home, that becomes an issue.
And I agree with that.
Renee, thanks for your perspective. I appreciate the unique perspective you bring to the issue. 866-423-WLQV, 45 minutes after the hour, here on the Paul Edwards program.
Hi, this is Mike Gallagher. Are you struggling or behind on your mortgage payments? Do you have a mortgage of at least $175,000? Have you tried to get a modification yourself but were turned down? If so, you really need to call Mortgage Restructuring Solutions today. MRS is the one company that you can trust. They've earned an excellent rating at the Better Business Bureau while helping hundreds of families lower their monthly mortgage payments. Their negotiators work every day with your lender, and the modifications they are getting are amazing. Call them right now at 888-688-4188. That's 1-888-688-4188. Your home is too important to you and your family. The negotiators at Mortgage Restructuring know the financial metrics your lender needs to see to approve your modification. Remember, your lender is looking out for itself, not for you. Put your trust in MRS, Mortgage Restructuring Solutions. Call them today at 1-888-688-4188. That's 888-688-4188. Mortgage Restructuring Solutions, 888-688-4188. Call now.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
The number to call is 800-466-1849. That's 800-466-1849. Toll free, 800-466-1849.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
800-466-1849.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. As Christians, our beliefs are under attack more than they've ever been. I'm asking you to join with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Christianity.com to openly declare your faith. Please take a few moments to say, "I am a Christian," at Christianity.com. Stand up and be counted with me and others, and also learn more about sharing Christ here and around the world. Join hands with us and boldly declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Go to Christianity.com today.
Hi, this is Pete Briscoe. As part of the teaching team for Telling the Truth, our intent all this month is the messages that you'll hear from my dad, Stuart, my mom, Jill, and me. We'll give you a break from the craziness that we call the holidays. We're hoping Telling the Truth is a time out from the usual commercial hustle and bustle. So plan to join us Monday through Friday right here for Telling the Truth.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.
Looks like Michigan will have a smoking ban in place in restaurants and public places come May the 1st. If Jennifer Granholm signs the law passed by the Michigan House yesterday. What do you think about this? 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578 here on the Paul Edwards program. Peyton in Detroit. Hello, Peyton.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
What do you think about this?
Well, I think they should ban smoking from restaurants, and they should just put it for, like, you can only smoke, like, in your own privacy because of, like, with smoke, asthmatics. And for some people with, like, illnesses that... consider, like, when you can't breathe in this kind of smoke.
So,
I think it should be banned from public places.
So people that have lung problems, asthma, people who maybe are allergic to cigarette smoke or other foreign objects in the air, you think for their benefit we ought to ban it. So you're in favor of this, Peyton, right?
Yes.
How old are you, Peyton?
10.
10 years old. You've got a career in talk radio ahead of you. Do you know that? You are.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you articulated that very, very well. You laid out your case very, very well, and you ought to think about maybe going into public speech. Do well in your speech classes, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Pay attention in English and speech, and I promise you, you've got a career in talk radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peyton. Appreciate hearing from you. 50 minutes after the hour, 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Here in the Center for the Study of God and Culture, and you can also email me, paul@godandculture.com. Is it Ula? Am I pronouncing your name right, Ula?
Hi, it's Ula. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Thank you. Usually your callers are non-smokers.
Are you a smoker?
I am a smoker, yes.
What do you think?
They're squeezing things too tight on us. Like, I can't smoke at home because my family is allergic. So I'm like a beggar smoking in front of the door all the time. And I think that will be taken from us pretty soon as well.
Go ahead.
I think many smokers are people who have many problems. They are either mentally ill or they have other problems. And you can't just go on and tax them all the time. I mean, the low economic society is smoking, basically, and you're taxing them.
You're absolutely right. That's an excellent point, Ula. There's no question about the fact that it is the lower economic strata that is taxed the most whenever we have taxes on tobacco, alcohol, the so-called sin taxes. 866-423-WLQV. Jaina in my hometown of Taylor. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing, Paul?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yes, you know, I used to be a smoker, but now I'm a non-smoker. I have problems when I see women or men or grandmothers driving in a car and an infant is in the back seat just inhaling all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand if they start banned. They should not drive in cars with babies that cannot speak for themselves, you know, but they're sucking this stuff in because they got to have it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Michigan is one of the states that has that that rule that says if you've got children or infants in your car, you can't smoke in your car. I know there are several states that have that law, but I'm not sure that Michigan is one of them. But common sense, it seems to me, Jaina would say that we ought not be smoking in the presence of our children. So it's a great point. 866-423-WLQV. Sue in Roseville, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Sue, and I am a former alcoholic. I stopped drinking in 1995. I stopped smoking in 1997. And here's my concern. I believe people are concerned about people quitting smoking. And I believe that people should quit smoking because it's not good for people's health. But what about drinking? Drinking's not good either.
Right. Yeah.
Drinking can cause problems too.
And drinking can kill other people because you get intoxicated and you go out and you're not in control of your senses and you're irresponsible and bad things happen. So you're absolutely right, Sue. Appreciate you pointing that out. Nearly 54 minutes after the hour here, 866-423-WLQV. After the top of the hour and SRN News, we're going to hear from Douglas Estes. Douglas is a pastor out in San Jose, California, and also an adjunct professor of New Testament at Western Seminary San Jose. He's got an interesting book out, Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World. We're going to come to a place in our culture, in our society, where eventually you do church in your pajamas at home, in the virtual world, via Facebook and the internet, your church's website. Interesting thoughts from Douglas Estes, and we'll get to that after SRN News. 866-423-WLQV is our phone number, 866-423-9578. Would you listen, please, to Mary Kay Beard. Mary Kay Beard, the founder of Angel Tree, and I want you to hear how important it is that you make that call right now to Angel Tree, 888-ANGEL-05.
Mary Kay Beard spent six Christmases behind bars, It was there she found Christ, got her life back together, and saw a soft spot, a way to reach the heart of even the most hardened criminals.
And what happened every year, shortly after Thanksgiving, clear through to Christmas, is that every group known to man comes to prison. And they would have a little program and sing Christmas carols and give us little gifts, usually a bunch of small toiletry articles, toothpaste, deodorant, that sort of thing. And then they would trade. They'd say, I'll give you this bar of soap for that bottle of shampoo. And then they would try to arrange each little pile equally. And I continued to watch with interest. And they would wrap them up in bits of colored paper or cloth. And on the visiting Sunday, just before Christmas, those were the items they gave their own children.
When she got out, Mary Kay joined the staff of Prison Fellowship, never forgetting how the children of her fellow inmates had so little at Christmas, and how the inmates themselves wanted so desperately to give their children a meaningful Christmas gift. In 1982, Mary Kay set up the first angel tree in a shopping mall, hoping to bring a little Christmas joy to a couple hundred children in Alabama. In fact, 556 children received gifts that year. What's more, it soon became clear there was a bonus to Angel Tree, a spiritual impact in those homes and in the prisons.
The Bible studies, the Prison Fellowship Bible studies, doubled and in some places even tripled in number. And I was startled. We had to scramble around and I had to order some more Bible study booklets. And I thought, where are all these people coming from? These are inmates who've never been in a chapel program before. And then I began to hear the same comments. Are you all the ones who got the gifts for my kids? Are these the volunteers who took the gifts to my kids? Are these the people who purchased the gifts for my kids? In fact, the comment most frequently heard was, I never thought anyone would really care about my family.
Since then, God has used Angel Tree to touch the hearts of millions of children and their mothers and fathers and give hope to the hopeless and set the captives free.
And the desire of my heart is to continually, daily communicate to all I see that Jesus is able to take even the most worthless life and to make it beautiful.
888-ANGEL-05. I'm asking for as many listeners as possible to make a generous $51 gift and help us reach 5 children with Christmas presents this year who have a mom or dad in prison. 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. I'm looking for some world changers who will really step up to the plate and give a generous $102 gift and touch the lives of 10 kids. We haven't crossed the 200 mark yet. I'm still waiting for your call. 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. Make the call right now, please.
Has credit card debt ravaged your financial stability or your home life? Fresh Start America can help. In fact, they can eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. They negotiate with your creditors, reduce your debt, cut years off your payments, and stop the debt cycle. It's a proven solution. They're friendly, caring professionals who won't judge you or talk down to you. You will get your questions answered and your debt forgiven. Avoid bankruptcy. Cut your debt by thousands and enjoy life again. Imagine taking your credit card bills and cutting them in half. If you have over $10,000 in credit card debt, call for a free consultation. There's absolutely no cost or obligation. Call now, 800-207-9715. That's 800-207-9715. Don't wait. Call us at 800-207-9715. 800-207-9715.
Are credit card bills stressing you out? Do you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck, hanging your head in embarrassment with $4,000 or more in unsecured debt? Call Consumer Education Services Incorporated, a nonprofit organization, for help. They'll give you a free consultation and a clear picture of how to permanently get out of debt. Here's the number.
800-948-6814, 800-948-6814, 800-948-6814. It's a new day in Christian talk. This is life-changing talk radio, AM 1500, WLQV Detroit.
A service of Salem Communication.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Obama's pay czar is once again cracking down on executives at the nation's biggest bailed-out companies.
2 months after slashing executive salaries for the top 25 earners at bailed-out firms, the administration is taking aim at the next 75 top employees with the biggest paychecks. Four companies receiving taxpayer bailout money are affected: Citigroup, AIG, General Motors, and GMAC. Treasury pay czar Kenneth Feinberg is capping cash salaries at $500,000.
SRN's Greg Clugston says 12 executives were granted exemptions in order to keep their companies competitive. Also at SRNNews.com, the House has passed a sweeping overhaul of financial regulations that would govern Wall Street and reconfigure the power of the agencies overseeing the nation's banking system. The vote was 223 to 202. The legislation is a priority of President Obama's. It's designed to address the shortfalls that led to last year's calamitous financial meltdown. U.S. and Pakistani officials say they expect Pakistan to eventually deport the five young Americans who were detained there. State Department spokesman Ian Kelly says the American detainees are not facing legal charges.
There are no charges pending here in the United States. There are no charges pending in Pakistan.
They had allegedly tried to join up with terrorists, but the FBI says the Bureau has no information linking them to terrorist groups. About 100 people who spent most of the night in snowbound cars on the New York State Thruway southwest of Buffalo are finally being freed. Tom Perichek with the New York State Thruway Authority says severe weather forced them to close the stretch of Interstate 90 that connects cities along Lake Erie.
We have severe winter weather conditions, lake effect snow, high winds causing whiteout conditions.
Emergency crews topped off gas tanks and checked on people by cell phone during the night. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 66 points to 10,472. The NASDAQ dropped a fraction. This is SRN News.
Welcome into the second hour of the Paul Edwards Program, all across southeastern Michigan, northwest Ohio, and parts of Ontario, Canada, here in the Center for the Study of God and Culture. 866-423-WLQV is our phone number, and the website, godandculture.com. The book Sim Church, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. You're going to be by the time we're done with the author, Douglas Estes, who is a pastor and university professor out in San Jose, California. Being the Church in the Virtual World. Let me read you some of the product description here. The meeting place for the church of tomorrow will be a computer screen. Don't laugh, it says, and don't feel alarmed. The real church, the real world church isn't going anywhere until Jesus returns. But the virtual church is already here, and it's poised for explosive growth. The Sim Church invites you to explore the vision, the concerns, the challenges, and the remarkable possibility of building Christ's kingdom online. Are we headed toward a time when we'll be doing church only in the virtual world, only in the electronic world? And what are the implications for real-life community? Will it enhance real-life community or be a detriment? What are the ecclesiology questions, the theology of doing church? What is the impact on our understanding of what the church is when we think about doing church in the virtual world? These are all some of the questions that we'll tackle with Pastor Douglas Estes here on the Paul Edwards Program. We have not yet reached 200 children on our way to 800 children providing Christmas gifts through Angel Tree. I need your help. Here's what I need to have happen this hour. Here's a big, hairy, audacious goal for this hour. I need 10 world changers, 10 listeners who will make a one-time gift, a one-time very generous gift of $102 and take care of 10 kids. 10 of you doing that is 100 children this hour. Angel Tree volunteers are already prepared in churches all across southeastern Michigan to get these gifts and provide them. Your gift is really helping to execute that. It provides any number of resources, alleviating the church of various burdens. And I need your help. We want to get 800 children taken care of by December 24th. I recognize that's 2 weeks away, but 2 weeks is going to go very fast. Christmas is 2 weeks from today. Hard to believe. And in the hustle and bustle of this Christmas season, I don't want this to get lost. Would you make this a priority for me right now? Would you make a generous one-time gift of $102? If you do that, Angel Tree's got something for you. They're going to give you a book by Chuck Colson, and they're going to give you their annual Angel Tree ornament that you can hang on your own Christmas tree as a reminder of your generosity and a reminder to pray for the children that were blessed through your generosity. It's a gift of $102 to bless the lives of 10 children, and I need 10 of you to do that right now, this hour. In the next 55 minutes, 10 listeners, a generous gift of $102. Will you help me? 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. You've got the cell phone there on your hip, in your purse. Would you take it out right now as you make your commute home? Don't put it off. This is urgent. I need you to do it right now. 888-264-3505, a generous gift of $102. You say, well, Paul, I don't have $102. $10.20 is all it takes to help a church provide a Christmas gift for these children. Will you help? With a $10 gift, with a $20 gift, a $51 gift will take care of 5 kids. A generous $102 gift will take care of 10. 888-264-3505 or online at the website at am1500wlqv.com. When we continue, Pastor Douglas Estes and doing church in the virtual world. What's that all about? We'll talk about it.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-827-9471.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-827-9471. That's 1-800-827-9471.
This is Pastor Jerry of Tough Questions Bible Answers. There are two important reasons I make an investment of my time to do this show. First of all, the average believer can't give an adequate defense for what they believe. Number two, so many Christians reevaluate their theology in light of their experience. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. Let's look into some tough questions Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and discover Bible answers right here at AM 1500 WLQV, life-changing talk radio.
The Equip for Life team asked our audience why they listen to Equip for Life with Pastor Christopher Brooks.
Pastor Christopher Brooks deals with a lot of issues regarding our culture. It's an on-the-go resource in order to be able to find the proper thing to say when I'm dealing with other religions. It helps me with evangelism. It's a blessing not only to get that word for myself, but also when I'm in contact with other people that I want to give God's word to.
Equip for Life with Pastor Christopher Brooks can be heard Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on AM 1500 WLQV.
Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
The Paul Edwards Program in the Center for the Study of God and Culture. What is the virtual church? And in answering that question, what is the impact of the virtual church on the real world church, and how are they different? Is the virtual church merely an extension of the real world church that you and I know and love and are accustomed to? The book Sim Church seeks to ask these questions and to provide some fundamental answers. Sim Church, being the church in the virtual world. The author is Pastor Douglas Estes. He's also an adjunct professor of New Testament at Western Seminary in San Jose, and the lead pastor. And I'm going to totally mispronounce the name of your church, and I apologize. Berryessa, have I got that close?
Yeah, you got it right.
Berryessa Valley Church. Maybe I need to work on my own self-confidence here. Berryessa Valley Church, San Jose, California. And Doug, it's great to welcome you here to the program.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's great to be with you and your audience.
You know, there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, yeah, our church is, we're virtual. We've got a website. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. And in fact, one of the great things about doing this book and, you know, engaging this conversation is the fact that we as a church have a long way to go to actually be able to have churches online. But the promise and the power of what those churches can and will be one day is going to be great for the gospel.
Here's what I, when I finished reading your book, I my mind was opened up. It was one of those aha moments. We send missionaries to various places. Our church will send missionaries to various places, real life places around the world. I had never thought of the internet, the World Wide Web, the virtual world as a place like a missions outpost where there are tens of thousands, if not tens of millions of real life people who probably are totally unfamiliar with what Christianity is. Have I got the right metaphor in mind here for what you're trying to get across?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that one of the things about writing the book and one of the big questions that people always ask me is related to how the internet is changing the world. Because most people, their relationship to the internet, especially if they're you know, in their 30s and above, is email and that sort of thing. But when you talk to someone who is much younger, they are actually engaging people in a whole new way on the virtual world. And as time goes on, you're going to see more and more engagements in that capacity and in that medium, and it becomes an incredibly powerful tool for the gospel.
So how is being the church in the virtual world different from merely just having a web presence as kind of a marketing tool extension of your ministry out there?
Okay, that's a great question, Paul. A lot of times when we are trying to do ministry, we want to get on board, we want to be an early adopter, you know, we want to find out what's the best way to reach people. And one of the things that's happening is that as the internet is changing and is changing the world and is changing sort of the way we communicate, the first step was sort of what I would call the billboard. You know, the church puts up a sign that says, hey, Berryessa Valley Church or First Baptist Church or whatever it may be. And that's designed to attract people to the brick-and-mortar church. But as the internet is changing and the power of its communication is growing rapidly, what happens is that we are actually able to not just connect to people, but actually build community online. Now, just because the church says that they're doing it, doesn't necessarily make that the case. Like I talk about in Sim Church, a lot of times we'll see churches that will have a podcast and they'll say that they have an online church or they'll have a virtual church or internet campus. But really, that doesn't fit the it doesn't fit the definition, really, of what a real church is. And so what is happening is that more and more churches are actually trying to use the internet to actually reach people via a local church in a synthetic medium. And if the church at large can take hold of that vision, even a percentage of it, then your power to reach people will grow exponentially, just like the internet has reached connectivity or connected people exponentially as well.
So in search of clarity, let me ask this question. What we're talking about here is not merely using the internet as a tool to cause people to find out about our ministry and then come to a physical location. We're talking about, Doug, sending a virtual missional team into cyberspace, and there's no intent, really, of ever having those people. I mean, that's not the priority anyway, of having people come to a physical campus, but rather to do everything that the physical campus does, only do it virtually in the online world.
That's correct. Although my view of ecclesiology, you know, the study of the church, is that there's lots of different flavors of the church, and I think that's all within orthodoxy. I think that's a very good thing. But let me say it like this: when I was writing Sim Church, I, as a local pastor of a regular brick and mortar church, one thing that writing this book really challenged me on was I had always sort of believed in the back of my mind that my church was capable of reaching everyone in my community. If we just tweaked this, did this, tried a little harder, that it would be possible to reach everyone. And I've found after writing this book that I don't believe that anymore, because there are going to be people that are so afraid of the church as edifice, the church as building, the church as it's portrayed in our world, that reaching them another way is the only way you're going to reach them. And so within the range of possibilities, one of them is online church. I know people that are, you know, that are in college right now, and they spend upwards of 40 hours a week online in virtual worlds, playing anything from World of Warcraft to hanging out in Second Life to, you know, spending all their time on Facebook, whatever it may be. That's the 2009 version. As time goes on, those worlds will become even more powerful and more significant, and it is imperative that we as the church begin to send missionaries into that world to reach people.
Douglas Estes, my guest. He is adjunct professor of New Testament at Western Seminary San Jose, lead pastor at Berryessa Valley Church in San Jose, California, author of this book, Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World. A lot of people driving the log freeway, Doug, are going to hear your description of how, you know, college kids spending their time in the virtual world. They're going to say, well, that's really not all that healthy, is it, for them to be spending all their time in the gaming virtual world and out of touch with real humanity? Why would we as a spiritual people want to encourage that kind of activity among young people, even for spiritual ends?
Well, that's a good question, too. For the record, I will not say whether it's healthy or not, because I, as a pastor, am just concerned about reaching those people primarily. So I would tend to think that maybe that's not the best way to spend your time, but I want to reach them first and then allow Christ to sort out that issue in their lives. The good thing is, though, is that after I wrote Sim Church, I was sort of vindicated a little bit by the people who questioned that, because the Pew Research Group did a study of people who use social media on the internet and are in virtual worlds, and they found that people who spend an inordinate amount of time in virtual worlds are actually more connected locally than are other people. So I found that to be shocking.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Again, right, but again, the Pew study that just came out a couple weeks ago found that to be true. And it actually overturned several different assumptions that we make about online community as well. So I think that was really cool.
When we continue, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with Douglas Estes. When we continue, Doug, I want to get into the practical nature of this whole thing. I mean, what it looks like. For instance, don't answer the question now, but to keep the audience listening through the break, how do you take communion in the virtual world? How do you do the things that that churches do? How do you take an offering? I mean, if you're supposed to take an offering, if that's a biblical spiritual practice, we'll try to get some practical answers to these questions raised by the book Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World, here on the Paul Edwards Program.
Kevin?
Yeah, Mom?
I've heard they might start drug testing in your school, so I need to ask. Have you ever done pot?
No.
Cocaine?
No.
Mexican speedballs?
No.
Beanies, hydro, wiffle dust, disco biscuits?
It's time for First Check Home Drug Test. With just a sample in a cup, you get results in minutes, as accurate as a lab screening. Find First Check now at your pharmacy or learn more at firstcheckradio.com.
Scooter, dank, zigzag?
Maybe?
Check first with First Check.
Okay, everyone wave to the camera.
Dave, is that a new camcorder?
Sure is. I got a great deal at Staples.
Oh.
I wanted to record baby Jessie's first holiday.
That's a good idea.
And I picked up a couple of toys for her, too.
A laptop and a printer.
Pretty sweet, huh?
She's 8 weeks old.
I know. Imagine going 8 weeks without a computer.
For your technology gifts this holiday, come to Staples, where savings is our gift to you. Right now, get an HP G60 laptop for just $479.98 after a $150 Staples Easy rebate. Staples, that was easy. Offer ends 12/12/09. See store for details.
With everything going on in your home and the world around you, when do you have time to quiet yourself, refresh, and connect to God? For 34 years, the Daily Guideposts Devotional has been a trusted resource for Christians just like you. In just 10 minutes a day, it guides you through a daily scripture followed by a true story of encouragement with real-life application, ending with a prayer, an opportunity to reflect and invite God's hand and work into your day. A time-tested, trusted devotional with over 20 million copies in print and available wherever books are sold. For a limited time, the 2010 edition can be yours for only $8 plus shipping and handling. Be one of the first 100 callers and receive the 2010 Daily Guideposts for the reduced price of only $8 plus shipping and handling. Call toll-free 877-797-8827. That's 877-797-8827. Daily Guideposts 2010 edition. Call 877-797-8827.
Are your kids disrespectful and defiant? Mine were too.
My name is Geraldine Lewis. My kids fought with me constantly. They threw things and slammed doors when I told them no. One day, my husband heard an ad on the radio for James Lehman's Total Transformation. We ordered it and the behavior changed immediately. Our kids are calmer and more respectful now. There's no more arguing and screaming, all because we know how to handle them now. Even their teachers can't believe the difference. Before this program, we couldn't even go to restaurants without an outburst. Now, we go out to eat and even took our first family vacation, and it was great. When I told James Lehman about my family, he asked me to be a spokesperson and share our story. I agreed, because if one family can turn around the way we did with the Total Transformation, it's worth it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-593-3750. 1-800-593-3750. It's guaranteed. So call now. 1-800-593-3750.
We're talking with Douglas Estes here on the Paul Edwards program about his book, Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World. And you can learn all about this book at its website, www.simchurch.com. And Doug, before the break, we simply asked the question, I mean, how does it work? I mean, how do you take an offering? How do you have the church potluck? I mean, obviously some things have to be different in the virtual church than from what they are, from what we're accustomed to in the real world church.
Well, that's true. And I would say that every iteration of the church, there's always going to be slight differences. There's always going to be advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, with the virtual church, one of the disadvantages is the loss of proximity. But there are advantages as well, which is the ability to reach people at long distance. So when you ask questions about like communion, let me just say on the record so that everyone's clear, I think in order to be a church, whether in the real world or in the virtual world, a church has to properly administer the sacraments. I don't see, you know, a way around that. I think that church history and scripture uphold that quite clearly. And so I think that the churches have to find a way of doing that. One of the ways that I posit in my book that churches will do it in the future, and by the way, some virtual churches are already doing it, is communion by extension. That's an ancient practice of the church where when people are away, when people are sick, when people are unable to take communion, the church actually takes communion to them. They take the Lord's Supper to them. And so there are churches, for example, like Flamingo Road Church that has an internet campus where the pastor asks the people to gather the elements in advance and be ready to take communion if they can take it in good heart and good conscience, as 1 Corinthians says. So to me, baptism, communion, you know, are all possible. It's just an issue of working out the logistics to make sure it's done in right order, as we would expect any Orthodox church to do.
Well, you know, I think if Buzz Aldrin can take communion on the moon, we could probably figure out a way to do it in the virtual world. I mean, he actually worked out with his pastor. I think he was a member of Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, Florida, and he actually worked out in advance with his church. They were taking communion here as he simultaneously was taking it in the lunar capsule on the surface of the moon, and I suppose that would be virtual communion or communion by proxy as well.
Right. Actually, I didn't know that story, Paul, so I'm really glad you mentioned it. I'm sure I'll use it sometime in another book or blog. But you're right. And what we in the church need to be doing is asking not why we shouldn't do this, but how do we do this better? How do we do this right? How do we reach all people around the world with the gospel in a healthy, biblical way, rather than trying to sort of say the church has to be done the way I grew up with, or the way I like to do it, the way I feel like it should be done.
Yeah, I think we need to continually reemphasize, though, for the audience, that we're not talking about a church merely setting up a web presence.
That's correct.
Probably every pastor listening to us right now, Doug, their church has some sort of web presence, some more effective than others, but that's not what we're talking about. If I'm going to, for instance, let's just ask the simple question. Is there a virtual church online right now that I could visit, and how would I go about doing it?
Okay, sure. There is, and in fact, the number of them is growing exponentially this year, especially in the last year or two. They've really taken off. The two I would mention right now is Flamingo Road Church. Internet Campus Pastor Brian Vassell leads that one, and that's based in Florida. Well, if you want to visit the brick and mortar, but online, I don't know the web address off the top of my head. Also, if you go to Second Life, there's a church called Anglican Cathedral in Second Life, and they've been doing ministry online there for a couple years as well. And both of those would be good examples of the way virtual church is working today. I would also say, not only would I emphasize to your listeners, especially pastors who are listening, about having the difference between a website, having a website, having a podcast, and then a virtual church, is that not every church should or will have a virtual church. You know, that's just one option out there. It's just like, a couple years ago, it became popular to plant cowboy churches in parts of the Midwest and Texas. And and that's a really cool idea, but not everybody is going to want to go to a cowboy church. So it will reach a segment of our world, perhaps a big segment of our world, but it's not necessarily something every church should rush into. For example, my church here in San Jose, a lot of times people ask me, are you going to have a virtual church one day? And at this point, I always say, I'm not sure, because it really depends more upon what God is leading me to do than it is trying to do, whatever church culture says we have to do today.
Flamingo Road Church's internet campus is frclive.tv.
Thank you.
No, thank you, because you've got it up on your Sim Church website.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The only reason I know it. Doug has several of these Sim churches, or I should say virtual churches, at his website, www.simchurch.com. But the one of the two that he's just mentioned, Flamingo Road, is at frclive.tv. Now, does this require then, I mean, I'm looking at the illustrations in your book, and you've got this animated, illustration of a computer-generated sanctuary. It looks like something we would see at Christ Church Cranbrook here, one of the older kind of churches with pews and people sitting in them. In a computer generated kind of way, I could create myself and place myself in that environment. Am I understanding this correctly?
Right. That's true. And in fact, one of the issues that I dealt with in the book is this whole issue of what makes a church. And there is nothing to say that a 12-year-old kid in a moment of boredom could not create an online church. There's nothing to say that a disgruntled elder couldn't create an online church. And so the good thing about the way the online church is shaping up is it's causing us to really ask questions about what is a church. Church in general.
Yeah.
What is the church what is the church in large? What is it supposed to be doing? What is it? And I know that we have historical formulations for it, and it doesn't take anything away from that, but it does raise those questions.
Yeah, and so that leads to the question, what is the impact on an Orthodox ecclesiology here? Because, when you say any 12-year-old could create an online church, I think that the Reformers would argue that there are several marks of a biblical Orthodox church, and maybe the 12-year-old doesn't have them all down, and certainly may not have the right motive. I mean, what is to protect orthodoxy within the virtual world here as we move in this direction with the church?
Right. That's a great question. By the way, I'm not recommending that 12-year-olds
yeah, I know.
Start their own.
Yeah, I get that.
Virtual churches, but it's true, because this goes to the heart of what it means. Because, for example, if we say, okay, 12-year-old cannot go start their own church and be Orthodox, let's just assume that's true for a second. The thing is, a lot of churches start because of reasons, or due to reasons that may not be as valid either in the brick and mortar church. I mean, we have lots of churches start because of breakups and because of church splits and because a person doesn't agree with this person's theology, doesn't agree with that person's theology. I think what I would say to your audience, above all else, Paul, is that the church, and this is something that a lot of people struggle with, but the church is by its very nature messy. And we as people, we are messy people, and we create imperfect churches. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive to be the best that we can, but at the same time, we have to recognize that fact. We strive to be as Christ-like as possible, but a lot of times the formulation of a church is at times messy. And, you know, I think back to when John Wesley, you know, basically launched the Methodist Church, and people really were very antagonistic against him doing that. They really did not like a lot of the things that he was doing. They felt it was too radical, too different, too, you know, out of the mainstream. And but I say praise God that he did. So while we want to be very careful, we want to maintain the marks of the church. And I would argue that any church that wants to be taken seriously as a virtual church must meet the marks of the church as upheld in church history and Scripture, not in that order, Scripture, then church history, but that they must do that for them to be an Orthodox biblical church. And one of the reasons why I wrote Sim Church is because we pastors tend to leap first and look later. Yeah. And I wanted to really, you know, raise these questions now so that as pastors are planning virtual churches or trying to do more and more online, they'll think about, okay, wait a minute, how do we do this in a biblical Orthodox manner? And let me give you one example. But a lot of the churches that are just recently planted online, a lot of their internet campus pastors or their lead pastors in conversation with me have said, well, we don't really want to do communion because we're afraid that people will rebel against it. We're afraid that they will react funny to it. And my response to them, for what it's worth, has always been, listen, if you want to claim to be a biblical church, you've got to do communion, unless your denomination has a different spin on that.
Yep.
But, you know, people that come from any mainline Protestant, Orthodox or Catholic group would have to have that. And I think that it's critical that the online churches try as best as possible. In fact, no, try is not really the right word. Do the marks of the church, as always held in Scripture and church tradition.
Pastor Douglas Estes, my guest, pastor of Berryessa Valley Church in San Jose, California, and adjunct professor of New Testament at Western Seminary, San Jose. His book, Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World, the website for the book, www.simchurch.com. You know, when you talk about how churches have started throughout history, many of them, not a majority probably, but many of them have started because adults are acting like 12-year-olds.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So I suppose that that you can overcome the wrong-headed reasons for why a church may start as long as you eventually work your way back to a biblical basis. But
right.
if I'm going to attend church in the virtual world, number one, should I also be seeking to attend church in the real world, or can I attend church in the virtual world exclusively?
Well, I think that depends upon the person. I have mixed emotions about that at that point because, first of all, I'm concerned that we are injecting a little bit of colonialism into the argument. Colonialism is the idea that we go to a place, and when we reach those people for the gospel, with the gospel for Christ, we reach them and then we try to get them to take our cultural norms as their norms. And so I fear that it just won't work. I fear that if you reach someone in the virtual world and then you tell them, oh, by the way, get out of the virtual world, come to my brick and mortar church, they'll just say, no, I'm not going to do it. The other thing I found in the research that I did for the book and talking to a lot of people is the fact that a lot of people just, as I mentioned earlier in the program, a lot of people are just afraid as the church as organization. And whether we as pastors, we like it, we hate it, we rebel against it, we try other forms of church, there are just a lot of people who, for a variety of reasons, have disabilities or issues in their life that prevent them from coming or serving in a brick-and-mortar church, and they can do it online. And I just feel like that we should not take away what God can do through them in that virtual world, in that virtual church. And by the way, you said earlier that we, you know, adults, we act like 12-year-olds, but we still overcome. And I know you would agree with this too, but God is the one who does that transformation in our lives. You know, he is the one that takes a broken church and makes it the city on a hill that allows us to reach our community for Christ. Without that, they're really, we just become an organization, just like any other organization in the world.
You well know, Doug, that the New Testament says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Another parallel verse to that is that we are to sing to one another. How you've got a chapter in your book called Wiki Worship or Wiki Worship, however you want to pronounce it. How does accountability in the virtual church world work? I mean, how do I teach and how do I admonish? I mean, is it, you talk about colonialism, am I coming into the virtual world with the same kind of real world setup, you know, a structure, a liturgy, and what does the worship format look like?
Right, that's a great question, because one of the first questions I asked when I visited Anglican Cathedral in Second Life, they were the church you were citing with one of the pictures in my book of pews and you know old style looking church. Mm-hmm. And I asked the lead pastor at the time, I asked him, you know, why do the cathedral? I mean, why do the pews for all things? I mean, this is the internet. I mean, this is the 21st century. And he said, well, we wanted something that people would recognize as being the church that would allow them to be comfortable to come in to begin with. Now, there's other online churches in Second Life who meet in moon bases and in, you know, mushroom cloud sort of tree structures and, you know, all kinds of, you know, unusual things, that, you know, unusual venues, let's put it that way. And so there is a need for the virtual church as it comes of age, because again, it's just the very, very tip of the proverbial iceberg at this point. But as it comes of age, to find new forms of liturgy, new forms of structure, new forms of organization to reach people in the online world. Having said that, there are still universal truths that must be applied. So, for example, I personally believe in church discipline. Our church here practices church discipline. Church discipline is something that online churches must do, I feel like, to be healthy biblical communities. The issue, and a lot of times people ask me this, they'll say, well, you can't discipline someone in the virtual world. And my statement back to them is, I can't discipline anyone at my brick-and-mortar church. Yeah. Yep. Every time we've tried to discipline someone, people just say, forget it, right. I'm leaving. I'm just going to go to the church across town. I'm not dealing with this. I'm not going to go through your discipline. And so it comes down to the people, because people in our world today, well, Western world, let's use North America here, because we have become very consumerist in our mindset towards the church, it is not the internet that will cause that. It is just us bringing that to the internet. The internet is a neutral medium. The view of Christianity that we already have, we bring to the internet. Or the assumptions about Christianity that non-Christians have, they will bring into the internet.
Do these virtual churches meet at a set time, just like my church has a Sunday morning worship service at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5:30? Are these like Flamingo Road? Am I going to go to their website, their virtual online church at a set time, or am I just dropping in and out?
No, most of them that I'm familiar with will have a set time. And in fact, I think a set time is very critical. I talk in my book about imaginary communities. And one of the dangers of people just throwing content up on the internet and calling it a virtual church is that you will create imaginary communities. An imaginary community is where you put content up on the internet and tell everyone it's a virtual church, and then people will randomly show up at random times, and there will be no actual community or connection. So they will feel that there will be, because the counter on the website says that this website was visited, you know, 100 times a day. And that is a big danger of as we move forward to newer and better forms of the virtual church. So, like Anglican Cathedral in Second Life, as an example, when I visited there, they have like 6 services that go on during the week. And when you are there, you're in avatar form, and you are completely able to interact with anyone. So, if someone's not familiar with that that venue, think Skype. If you're familiar with Skype, you know Skype. You can't touch the person, but you can see the person, you can hear the person, you can fully interact with the person. The example I give in my book is that when I've been at Anglican Cathedral in Second Life, if I were to stand up during the preaching and shout, "Hey, you knucklehead, knock it off," you know, everyone would hear me, and hopefully they would discipline me, you know, for doing that. And so it's the same way, that there are real communities online, but we want to encourage the church to become more effective at making those communities real rather than just simply posting non-contextualized content. And that's the beauty of virtual church, because the difference between a church and a book, for example, is the book gives information, even if it's a book on discipleship, it gives information that's pretty much non-contextualized, whereas a church contextualizes the message of Christ for the people that are there at that time. And we want the virtual church to do that. We want it to contextualize the message of Christ for the people that are there at that time.
So when I go into, for instance, the Anglican Cathedral of Second Life, you know, how am I hooked in? Am I hooked in audibly and visually? I'm seeing these avatars on screen, but there are real people for whom these avatars are representative. And am I going to go through a typical kind of real world worship service where we go through a liturgy and somebody's going to open the word exegete a passage of Scripture, or is it more open community, open participation?
Okay, that's a good question. And a lot depends upon the virtual church you go to. You mentioned that my website has about 25 virtual churches on it right now. I've gotten a slew of emails just in the last month or two since the book came out of other people who are planning virtual churches and doing, you know, all kinds of interesting things around the world. And so when we take Anglican Cathedral just as an example, my experience with them, I'm not a member of the church. You know, I'm more of an observer, and I've tried to be an observer in a positive way, but my view of them is that, in fact, that's exactly what's happening. You know, you go in, you sit down, you listen to take part in, depends upon, you know, how you define that, biblical message, and then when you leave, you can fellowship with people, and it is very close to what it is in the real world. Now, again, we want to be careful, because 2009 is 2009, and I say that meaning if we look at what the internet was like in 1999 or 1989, it's a huge world of difference. And so what these churches can become in, say, 2019 is where I'm more focused. I want to see more and more of these churches so that they can reach more and more people in this venue. And the challenge is to get all aspects of the church in that virtual world to be healthy and biblical. So is it possible? Absolutely. Does it happen in all the virtual churches that are there now? You know, it depends upon the church. Yes, most of the examples I've seen, it does. But, you know, it's one of those things. Same thing when you go drive around your community. I mean, if we each did a tour of churches in our community, there would be some that we would be like, yeah, biblical church, even though I don't go there. And there'd be some that we would be, say, less impressed with.
Yeah. But the point being that when I go in, what's happening is happening in real time. I mean, again, we're making the distinction between merely going to a website that has a static podcast that I can listen to anytime, but I'm going in and I'm actually interacting with the other avatars who are representative of real life people who are in this community with me, and I am participating with them in the virtual world.
Yes, that's correct, Paul. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. That's exactly what's happening. In fact, the reason why I used Anglican Cathedral in my book is because the first time I went in, you know, the pastor wanted to talk to me. And here I am, you know, online and, you know, with the headset and the avatar and can see him. And he's standing there and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, I don't, you know, when you visit churches, you're always afraid to talk to the pastor, you know, and it was the same way there. And so it took me, you know, I'm like, okay, Douglas, you're a pastor. You could talk to the guy. It's not going to be weird. And so I did, you know, I talked to him and just, you know, and actually we became friends. And so it is very much very real in that regard. People come, they take part. None of it's canned. It's all live. And it is, and it very well can be a very effective form of the church for some people in our world.
It is very fascinating. The book is Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World. I commend it to you. The website, www.simchurch.com. The author is Pastor Douglas Estes of Berryessa Valley Church in San Jose, California, also adjunct professor of New Testament at Western Seminary. You know, when I look at the title of your first book, The Temporal Mechanics of the Fourth Gospel, A Theory of Hermeneutical Relativity in the Gospel of John, I think, how did Doug ever come to write this book, Sim Church?
Well, that's a good question. My first book was an academic book that was based on my dissertation that I wrote. It's kind of interesting because that actually dealt with a lot of assumptions that scholars make about the Gospel of John. And that's a whole can of worms we won't get into here. At the same time, when I had this idea of doing Sim Church and, you know, I was talking to Zondervan about it, I really felt like it was an incredible opportunity to do an ecclesiological analysis, a study of a potentially new form of church that the world had never seen before. And that idea really intrigued me. And, you know, when I wrote, I'm not sure if I put this in the preface or not, but when I wrote this book, you know, I actually came from it from a scholarly point of view. You know, I thought, I sat down, I did not visit any virtual churches, I didn't take part in any virtual churches. I actually went back and I read everything the Bible has to say about the church, tried to find everything the church has to say about the church for 2,000 years, and it just became very intriguing to me about the way that the church continues to evolve in our world to meet the demands of the people who cry out for God in their lives and how we can be a part of that rather than be focusing on the past. I think one of the mistakes the church makes over and over and over again is it looks towards the past for the answers. And I say that from a very theologically conservative position, that the future, today, the church of today is what God has called us to minister to, and to the people of today is what God has called us to reach. And the answers for that we find in Scripture, but the application of it we find today.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm a pastor, and any pastor who reads this book, whether they are prompted by the Holy Spirit to plant a virtual church or not, they are now going to have to take very seriously the reality of the virtual world, that there are people, real-life people with flesh and blood and souls who need the gospel, who otherwise wouldn't get it. This is going to be a book that that places. So I would say to pastors, you know, if you don't want to be responsible for that aspect of mission, maybe you ought not read the book. But if you really want to, think creatively about your ministry and about ways that you can reach people you otherwise wouldn't reach, you've got to read this book. I mean, you don't have any excuse not to. Sim Church, Being the Church in the Virtual World. Douglas Estes, the author. And Doug, it's fascinating. I could keep you here all night talking about it.
Well, yeah, and I would say that one of the biggest praises I've got from the book is by people who don't necessarily agree with every aspect of what it means to reach people in the virtual world, but they've emailed me and they've told me and said, you know, your book really challenged me on what it means to be church in general. And I think that if I did that as well, I think that's I think that would be very worthwhile. And so, because again, the church has to constantly refresh what it is in the light of our of today's world. And that doesn't mean we change, you know, the message. It doesn't mean that we change what God has called us to do. Those things are immutable. They're unchangeable. But every generation needs the church to reach that generation. It needs to be contextualized for that generation. And every opportunity that we get to that, do that is very important.
Well, and you've made a significant contribution to that end. There's no question about
it. Thank you, Paul.
Doug, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us in Detroit.
Okay, it was great to be with you and your audience.
46 minutes after the hour. Again, Being the Church in the Virtual World, Sim Church. The website, www.simchurch.com. More of the Paul Edwards program when we continue.
Are you living paycheck to paycheck? Have you been making credit card payments for years only to feel like the balance never goes down? In fact, with interest rate hikes and late fees, you feel like you're getting further and further behind. No matter how high your credit card debt is, at Jordan McKenna, we're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and stop those harassing collection calls. We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan.
You could save thousands of dollars off your high-interest credit card debt.
If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. So call Jordan McKenna now for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under that mountain of credit card debt.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, call now. 800-204-6773.
That's 800-204-6773.
800-204-6773.
Times are tough. High car repair bills are getting more expensive. Consider the fact that replacing your power steering could cost over $620. A new engine or transmission could set you back well over $3,000. Consumers Choice Auto Care wants to give you a free, no-obligation quote, so these repair bills cost you nothing. That's right. With an extended service plan, you choose the repair shop you want, and we cut them a check directly. Get a free consultation on a solid 5-year, 100,000-mile extended vehicle service agreement, no matter how many miles are on your car. For a very limited time, we'd like to offer the first 10 callers a 25% discount if you call now with your current mileage. For your free quote, call 1-800-483-0257. That's 1-800-483-0257. Don't wait. Protect yourself from future expensive repair bills. Call 1-800-483-0257. That's 800-483-0257.
Thank you for the amazing job you've done in moving my first book forward in the publishing process.
Ludi Cotton Darnell's book, Ashley, Alex, and the Mystery Twins, was published with Zulon Press.
This is an exciting time for me.
Have you got a book for a Christian audience? Want to control the publishing process? Your free publishing guide is at ChristianPublishing.com.
I thank the Lord that Zulon Press has made it possible.
Visit Zulon Press for your free publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com.
This is Pastor Emery Moss Jr., inviting you to tune in every Saturday at 4 p.m. to Bible Talk, your weekend dose of Bible, theology, Christian living, and apologetics, only here on Life-Changing Talk Radio, AM 1500 WLQV.
Simply
we have not yet reached the 200 mark of children that we've helped so far this year with Angel Tree. I know we have until Christmas Eve really to get this done. Next Thursday, we're going to spend the day talking to you about Angel Tree and how you can help a child receive a Christmas present from their mom or dad who's in prison. And I'm wondering right now if you won't help me with a generous one-time gift to help 10 of these kids. And it is generous, and I recognize with the Michigan economy, I'm asking you to be very generous. But a $102 gift would reach 10 of these children. It'll help local churches right here in southeastern Michigan provide these Christmas gifts for children of prisoners throughout southeastern Michigan. And the number to call is 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. We were hoping to get over the 200 mark yesterday. And we're still hovering at about 180 kids. We've got 800 children who we want to bless this year with Angel Tree Christmas gifts. And we need your help to get it done. Churches throughout southeastern Michigan are already getting these gifts together. Your gift of $10.20 is really about the average cost of what it costs to facilitate getting those gifts into the hands of these children of prisoners. And we need your help to get it done. And so I'm hoping that we've got 10 listeners. Will you be one of the 10 right now who will make a generous gift of $102 at 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505? The reality is if we get 10 listeners to do that, that's 100 kids right now. 10 listeners, a generous gift of $102 is 100 kids taken care of for Christmas, and then we're closer to the 300 mark, much closer to where we need to be. Will you help us? 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505. I'm in a position now to take care of the whole thing, quite honestly, because I just got an email from the British Airways Authority Baggage Claims Unit in London. It says, this is British Airport Authority, the world's leading airport company. I wish to inform you that a box containing U.S. $5.5 million has been received through our Heathrow Airport in your name. Your name has appeared on the tag attached to the box. I have personally examined and scanned the box and discovered it to contain U.S. $5.5 million. I decided to contact you before sending the box to the U.K.'s customs for final scanning and reports. I'm a millionaire. I am filthy, filthy rich. If only it were true.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it. Speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
The number to call is 800-466-1849. That's 800-466-1849. Toll free, 800-466-1849.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
800-466-1849.
Did you know that there are over 2 million kids whose moms or dads are in prison this Christmas? Hi, it's Chris McCourtney, General Manager of Life Changing Talk Radio, and one of our favorite ministry partners is back with us, and Detroit area kids need your help. Angel Tree works with our local Christian churches in southeastern Michigan, and with your help makes Christmas happen for these special kids. Through no fault of theirs, they find themselves at Christmas without mom or without dad and without hope. Join us for a day of hope, Thursday, December 17th, 1 week before Christmas. Help us make Christmas merry for the children of prisoners right here in the Detroit area. The kids will wake up to special gifts from their parents and they'll get the greatest gift of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can there be a better way to celebrate the birth of our Savior? Join us December 17th and please be as generous as you can. Call 1-888-ANGEL-05. That's 1-888-ANGEL-05. Or go to am1500wlqv.com and click on the Angel Tree link.
Listen to Victorious Through Faith every Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m. for 1 hour of biblical teaching on faith, healing, community-based affairs, sports, and faith, and music to encourage and strengthen you as you walk with God through faith. So join us for Victorious Through Faith. Sundays, 9 to 10 p.m. here on Life Changing Talk Radio, 1500 AM WLQV.
Fifty-four minutes after the hour here on the Paul Edwards program, 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. Yes, it seems I am a millionaire. It doesn't, all it says, it gave me an email address. It said, you just gotta, if you'll personally email me, I'll tell you what to do from there. Yeah, I know. It involves a credit card number, a bank account number, something. But I mean, it's $5.5 million. It's worth the risk, isn't it? I mean, who falls for this stuff? Who in their right mind falls for these phishing scams in their email inboxes? It is, it's amazing to me that we've got people that actually do fall for these scams. Unbelievable. Just absolutely unbelievable. 866-423-WLQV, 866-423-9578. But I'm not scamming you when I say we need your help with Angel Tree. $10.20 is the average cost of taking care of the churches who are working with Angel Tree. The expenses of getting those gifts into the hands of these children, that's what you're helping with. And I want to encourage you. I was on an Angel Tree conference call this afternoon. This is happening all across the country, particularly with my brothers and sisters in the Salem radio network. We're working together so that Angel Tree gifts can get into the hands of children and communities all across America. And we need your help. We are not even a quarter of the way toward our goal, and 2 weeks to go. Let's get over the 200 mark today. Let's get close to 300, shall we? A generous gift of $102, and I know that's a lot of money. I know that there are many, many things that are vying for your financial attention this time of year. But would you consider the children, please? $102 will provide the church, local churches, with the ability to get these gifts into the hands of children right here in southeastern Michigan. When you call 888-ANGEL-05, 888-264-3505, and some of you could be a world changer. There's a businessman or woman out there listening to me, and God has you listening right now for a reason. You could easily give $1,020 and bless the lives of 100 kids right now. You could easily do it. Your gift is fully tax deductible. And if you're looking for a great way to invest yourself in the life of a child in very dire circumstances, they have a mom or a dad in prison, you could bless the lives of 100 children right now with a generous gift of $1,000, $1,020, because it's $10.20 per child. Now, I fully recognize that the vast majority of people in this audience, you don't have $1,020, But the vast majority of people in this audience do have $10.20. And I would love to see 50 of you, 60 of you, 100 of you make that one-time gift of $10.20 by calling 888-ANGEL-05. Let's get over the 200 mark today. You say, well, yeah, somebody else will make the call. No, they're not going to make the call. You've got to make the call. So would you make a $10.20 gift to AngelTree? If you don't want to talk to an operator, you can just go to the website, am1500wlqv.com. Click on the Please Support AngelTree link there at the top of the page. But I really do hope that there's a generous businessman or woman in the audience right now. God's blessed you this year. You've got $1,020. Invest it in the lives of 100 kids, will you? 888-ANGEL-05.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
The number to call is 800-466-1849. That's 800-466-1849. Toll free, 800-466-1849.
My Computer Works. Does yours? 800-